You know, church, when we, let's see how we go here. You know, when we come to church, it is a joy to be here, and it's an opportunity. We come here for a handful of reasons. We come into this building together as a group for probably two or three reasons. One is we want to hear what God has to say to us. The second is we want to experience His presence. The third is by being here, we encourage one another. And obviously in conversation and demonstrating love to one another, we encourage each other as well. And the fourth is an act of service. Coming and reflecting and saying to God, God, I do actually want to know more about you. God, I want my life to be changed. I want my life to be more like Jesus. I want to reflect Him more every day. So just as we start on this next message, and we're launching off into a new theme for the next 2 months, let's pray together right now to say, God, for the next period of time, help me to reflect and to remember that I'm here for a reason. I didn't just come here because it's a habit each week that I come, that I felt a duty to come, but Jesus, actually right in here, right now, I'm here because I want to know more about you. I want to be more like you. And I want God to be glorified. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here, reminding us that we are here to be like Jesus, that we are here to be transformed into Him as His image. May our hearts be open, may our minds be ready, and may our ears be open to hear your message and your truth this morning, that we might never be the same again. Right across this congregation, every single person who hears this message and on the live stream as well would be touched by your presence and by your love this morning. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, how good is it to be successful? Isn't that the best? Isn't that amazing? It's awesome to have favor, to be successful, to be incredibly I can't think of a better word than successful. Successful in your walk, amen, in your life. Isn't it? That's just so good. Well, this morning, I am going to unpack a passage from Proverbs because this is our new theme. We're going to be teaching out of Proverbs the very core, the very element that is required for your success. I know you're chomping at the bit. You're on the edge of your seat. You're like, Reese, just give it to me. Give me this key. I can't wait to be successful. Oh, you might already be successful. Forgive me. I can't wait to be more successful and find more favor and grace in my life. Well, it is in this marvelous book. And let me tell you, it is not what you expect. And secondly, it's not the success you're thinking. We are unpacking Proverbs or words of insight. Proverbs right down the middle. I was looking for Proverbs on the side. Words of insight over the next 2 months because there is so much truth. There is so much good stuff within this book of Proverbs that can apply to our everyday life. It is something that God has given to us. It's available. It relates and gives us guidance on friendships, on marriages, on raising kids. It gives us advice on gossip or how not to. It gives us advice on business, on working, on justice, on societal issues. It gives us advice on anger for husbands, for wives, for children. That's got to be someone in here. Being generous, taking correction, ruling well, and much, much more. So there's so much that we can learn from it. It is the instruction manual for how to live God's life, how to live a righteous life. In various situations, it presents us with true wisdom. We've all seen, we've all probably cracked open a fortune cookie at some point in time. We have been blessed recently to have a box of fortune cookies given to us, which is just wonderful, except I can't eat them. But the boys have cracked open the fortune cookies and they read the two lines that are on the piece of paper. And when they read the two lines, they are perplexed as to what it could possibly mean. I feel like sometimes those fortune cookies are randomly generated two lines in by a computer. They've got an Excel database, and it just picks two random lines in this database. They don't relate to one another, but if you happen to land upon a good connection of those two lines, it can speak truth. It's like a clock, it's right, a broken clock, it's right twice a day. You know, that's what a Chinese fortune cookie is like. There was one just the other day. What was it? A good craftsman never blames his tools, or something like that, I think it was. A poor craftsman never blames his tools. And so one of the boys got that one out and was like, what the heck does that mean? I said, well, when you're playing basketball, it's never the ball's fault if it doesn't go in. Right? If you can't jump high and eat your shoes, it could be. Said the poor craftsman. Amen. Well, you see, Proverbs is not like that. It isn't just random passages, two lines strung together to try to give the impression of truth. It is God's truth for mankind in the world in which we live. Despite the fact that it was written more than 2,000 years ago, you can see in here incredible truth about God, about the way that God created this world and how we relate to one another, how we work, how we raise our kids, all of these things which are in essence foundational truths of the world. So this morning though, we're going to unpack the key to favor and success, finding favor with God and man. Turn with me, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. And we're going to read from there. Only two verses this morning to start with, and then a few more to support what we're saying. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3, and it says, here we go, these are the keys. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man or humankind. Boom. There you go. Finish my message. You're welcome. Feel free to head off, have a coffee in the cafe. Here is the key to favor and a good name, which is success, love, and faithfulness. Too easy. So easy. The keys, as I was saying, the keys for the car, the keys for success. Have you ever had a time in your life when you have been so shocked that somebody has given you a go? Have you ever been surprised when a boss or a colleague or at an interview, you think, I didn't do a good job at that. That didn't go well. And then all of a sudden, you get the job. The door is opened. The thing happens for you, whatever it is that you're looking for. Or, lo and behold, you've had an offense with a family member, and all of a sudden, there's some forgiveness. And you think to yourself, this is unnatural. An unreasonable level of grace, an unreasonable level of favor, something which is beyond just someone doing something kind of kind. It's almost like God has influenced the situation to create favor, to create success. Well, we see in Scripture that actually God does this all the time. When the situation looks dire, when the environment looks not conducive to success or favor, actually God finds a way to have his influence. And that's the opportunity for us, church. That God would provide his promise to you this morning, that those who love and are faithful and never forsake that will find favor with God and with humankind. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, it tells us something quite important though about this. Many claim to have unfailing love, but who can find a faithful person? Or it says, but a faithful person who can find. This is a reminder that actually the reality is that love and faithfulness together is not a natural part of who we are. As a result of the fall, when the curse came love and faithfulness were the immediate things to go. Cain killed his brother Abel. That ain't love. We see marriages break up. We see all sorts of wickedness. We see lying start. I mean, that's really what Eve did to start with as well. Eve and Adam, they both hid. They lied. You know, immediately as sin entered the world, love and faithfulness were the things that got hit straight away. You see, it's hard to find a loving person. It says many claim to be loving. Many claim to have an unfailing love. But we ourselves know, in our experience, it's very hard to find someone who actually has an unfailing love. We've been impacted many times, all of us, by somebody who has not lived up to the level of love that they said they had for us, or that we might expect. We ourselves have experienced many times an unreliable friend. Unfaithful friend. Unfaithful colleague, spouse, child, unloving. This is actually par for the course. I know that every single person here, regardless of your age, has experienced a failure in both of these two things. We are united by our mutual experience of failure. How is it then that we can live up to this proverb 3 verse 3, let love and faithfulness never forsake you? Well, we got to turn our attention to what these two things actually mean, and we got to look to the source of love and faithfulness. Steadfast love in this passage is a common word in the Old Testament, and it's often used of God's love. It means mercy. It means grace. It means goodness. It means kindness. That's what this love means. Steadfast love and mercy in this sense, listen to me carefully, church, is how you conduct yourself. It is the intent of your heart. When you choose to do something, it is the attitude behind the behavior. Steadfast love is the attitude behind your behavior. It is being compassionate. It is seeking out the best for somebody. It is looking to do good. You test your heart this morning and you can say, that's not me all the time. I will admit to that. Faithfulness here means reliability. It means stable. It means faithful. It means truthful. And this relates to what you say and what you do. It is the behavior that follows on from the attitude. You see, love and faithfulness are twins. Love is the intent and the attitude. Faithfulness is the behavior and the action. You love, you look, are searching for the good of somebody else, and the faithfulness is delivering upon that in truth. It's hard to live up to these things. Is that right? This passage in chapter 3 tells us that we are to bind these two things, love and faithfulness, around our necks and to write them on our hearts. This is a representation of the outward adornment of love and faithfulness and the inward meditation and a sort of adaptation of love and faithfulness to who we are. They form the very core of how we conduct ourselves. Proverbs 1 verse 9 will tell us, if you're able to put that on the screen. They are, this is love in particular, a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Have you come across somebody who is incredibly loving and kind, and it is, in a sense, their own character radiates beauty? It's not that they themselves are incredibly good looking, but that their kindness, their mercy, their grace comes across as almost a beauty, as almost an adornment on who they are. That is the kind of love and faithfulness that will find favor and success. This is the kind of love and faithfulness that we aspire to. And when we write these things on our heart, this is the inward transformation of our hearts and minds. Like Romans 12 tells us, that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This is the inward part of our lives being conformed to Christ's image. You see, love and faithfulness can only come through holding on to Jesus. The result. What is the result of demonstrating love and faithfulness? It's favor. It's grace, it's acceptance, it's selection, it's choice, it's willingness to do what you need, it's a willingness to help you. Are there areas in your life where you need favor? You need a change in someone's attitude. You need an opportunity for a door to be opened. You need a family member to welcome you back into their life. And actually, it's not that just you need. I'm using that word incorrectly. You want. Because you don't have that at the moment. You're looking for an opportunity to be able to connect with someone again. Let me tell you, church, that here are the two keys to unlocking favor and success in this life. God tells us that it is love and faithfulness. We've already read Proverbs 20, verse 6, and it tells us that finding such a person is exceptionally rare. In fact, it took the Son of God himself to come to earth to really demonstrate what this meant. And we read about it when he's a teenager. Who would have thought? Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. A very short passage, and really all that we have around Jesus' childhood and upbringing. We remember, if you can, might have heard this story before, Jesus and his family has come to Jerusalem, to the temple, to give offerings. Jesus is about 12 or 13 years old. He ended up getting sort of left behind by his parents in Jerusalem as they traveled back to Nazareth. And because he was left behind and being an incredibly good kid, of course, the best kid ever, he decides, you know what? A great place for me to be is in the temple. It's going to be safe. Obviously, that's where I was. Presumably, my parents are going to look for me there as well. That's a great place to be. And also, that's my father's house. So Jesus goes back to the temple and he's conversing with the priests. His parents find him. Jesus, what have you done? You've given us such a heartache. We've struggled to find you for 3 days. And Jesus is like, I've been right here. You forgot me, but I've been right here. It's all good. He didn't do anything wrong. Jesus goes home with his parents, and this is what the Bible records about him in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. And as Jesus grew up, he increased in wisdom and in favor with God and people. Jesus, as he grew up, grew in favor, wisdom, and effectively with God and with people. Jesus is the example of love and faithfulness. We know this not just as a teenager. As Jesus taught and preached and healed the sick, and as he went around to all of the towns and everything around him, he was the example of love and faithfulness. There was never anyone who was as reliable as Jesus was. If he said he was going to be somewhere, he was there at that time. He never, never went back on his word. Not once. He never told a single lie. Not even a white lie. Jesus loved until the very end. It tells us in John chapter 17 that he loved them to the very end. Jesus loved his disciples and all those who had come to him. And what did it do? Well, it gave him favor with a lot of people. But most importantly, favor with God. Favor with God. And how important that was for us, because it was favor with God that led to our salvation. But this has been demonstrated in others' lives. In Joseph, we know the story, Genesis chapter 39 and verse 21, and it says, But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him, and he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Joseph is an incredible example of faithfulness. Why was he in prison? Because he was faithful to God not to commit adultery. He got thrown into prison because he wouldn't sleep with his master's wife. So he got thrown into prison. That's faithfulness, church. And when he's there in prison, don't worry, God provides him favor with the prison warden. Now you think, he's still in prison, Reese. Like, okay, it's great to have favor with the warden. But where does that favor lead him? That favor leads him to Prince of Egypt. No, that's not quite right. To the second in charge, El Presidente of Egypt. Joseph was faithful through so many trials, so many things that went wrong. He was faithful. He was reliable. He was truthful. And what do we see? We see door open after door open after door open, despite the many setbacks, despite the many hurdles, despite the many sadnesses and griefs. We see the door open and God's plan and work outlaid. And we see, well, why was this Hebrew ultimately the second in charge of Egypt? Because God gave him favor. If you want to rule in high places, you've got to be faithful. I appreciate that. Maybe it might come across this morning that this is about trying to achieve success, that this is all about, you know, doing the best in your natural life, that, you know, it's some sort of ambition to be successful in your life. I'm not, hear me out this morning, church, that actually God uses us all in some instance to bring about his glory and his kingdom. For some of us, that will be to stand in front or to be an authority. Some people here in their life may end up in some very powerful places. Maybe it's in parliament. Maybe it's in kings and queens' presences. Maybe it's in the schoolyard. Wherever it is, the thing that's going to get you there, the thing that's going to provide you with the opportunity is faithfulness. Love and faithfulness. But you see, if love and faithfulness is the core of who you are, then when you get there, you're reflecting Jesus. It's not getting there into kings and queens' courts for the sake of getting there. It's so that the gospel might be preached. You see, when Paul was on his missionary journeys, and he was ultimately taken in arrest by the Romans, he ended up in front of authorities, in front of princes, in front of kings of certain areas, and ultimately in front of Caesar. He was given incredible favor to get all the way to Rome. And why was that the case? Because Paul was faithful. Paul was truthful in preaching God's word. Proverbs 20 and verse 28. Hopefully that might be on the screen. We'll see. There we go. Love and faithfulness. If keep a king safe. Through love, his throne is made secure. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. This is another example of how favor is given to those who demonstrate love. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. You see, this wasn't somebody who knew God in terms of the Old Testament. He didn't grow up knowing God. This gentleman, by God's grace, had found God in some way, and he and all his family were devout and God-fearing, and he gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. Can you see in those two sentences that he gave generously and he prayed regularly? What do you see in those two things? Love and faithfulness. And one day, about 3 PM, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. And the angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor, your faithfulness and love have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants, and he told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. I might not have included those last two verses. Cornelius' love and faithfulness ended up with favor from God, and Cornelius and his family became the first Gentiles that ever received the Holy Spirit. Not on Acts 2, we have lots of Jews who came to Jerusalem to pray at Pentecost, right? They were effectively in what we would now call the religion of Judaism at that time. They were effectively Old Testament believers. At Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit. This here is the very first instance of someone who isn't that, who is a Gentile, ever receiving the Holy Spirit. This here is favor. Favor from God. And what was it that went to God as a memorial? What was it that gave him favor with God? I'm going to drum it in this morning. What was it, church? Love and faithfulness. Giving to the poor. Regularly praying. Do you want favor and success in your life? Do you want God to pour out his favor on you in an even greater extent? We have his favor already as his sons and daughters. We have already been given true life. We've already been given grace, love, hope, and peace. But do you want more favor? Well, live out like Christ did in love and faithfulness. What does the opposite of love and faithfulness look like? Very quickly, it leads to punishment. It leads to judgment for being untruthful. It leads to ruin. And an incredible verse, Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 19 says, "Unfaithfulness or an unfaithful friend is like a broken tooth or a lame foot. Painful, unreliable, and disabling." If you want to avoid that, then best we rely on love and faithfulness. This proverb that we just read, it tells us, let it never forsake it. Let it never leave you. Don't let it go. Don't neglect it. Do not abandon it. Do not chase it away. Do not chase something else. The best way of doing that is, of course, to draw on the full resources of the very essence of love. I hope that you might be thinking to yourself this morning, I cannot live up to the standard of love and faithfulness that is required. You would be correct. I cannot live up to the level of love and faithfulness that God demands of me. Not in my own strength, but I can in his Holy Spirit. We can in his grace. We can with his strength. In the times of difficulty, in the time when it's hard to love somebody who might have offended you, it's hard to love somebody who might be different to you, it's hard to love somebody who might have hurt you, it's hard to love somebody who might have let you down before, but with his strength, we can love. But with his strength, we can be faithful. And with his strength, we can speak the truth. You see, the more and more that we become like Jesus, the more and more favor God will pour out on you. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, we need your help to demonstrate the love and faithfulness that you have shown to us, to be able to reflect that to this world, that we might reflect just how good you have been to us, the mercy and the grace that you have shown to us. Help us, Lord, to reflect that to this broken world. Lord, that it might create incredible opportunities for favor, that your gospel might be preached, that your word might, that your kingdom might be expanded, and your word might go to the ends of the earth. Father, I thank you that you are helping each one of us to live up to that call this morning, that we would see incredible success in every single person in this church, that your glory would be exalted, that your glory would be praised this morning. And every heart that's in here, Jesus, encouraged by your love and encouraged by your truth. And we ask for this in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.